It's so great to be with you today, and we're praying for God's rich blessings on your life. We're continuing in a series today, Questions Asked of Jesus. And mothers, you know what questions are all about. Your children have lots of them, don't they? Especially when they're younger. When they get older and they're teens, we don't consider them that old at that point, but then they know all the answers, don't they? They think they know all that. Thank you. They think they know all the answers. Questions asked of Jesus. And moms, the message for you today and for everyone really is this question. How do I deal with the weeds? Uh-oh. This sounds a little negative, huh? But there's a lot for us to see. All of us experience weeds in every area of our lives. And for you moms, I wanted to start with a short review of motherhood. You know you're a mom when you're up each night until 10 p.m. vacuuming, dusting, wiping, washing, drying, loading, unloading. I'm getting tired just reading this. Shopping, cooking, driving, flushing, ironing, sweeping, picking up, changing seats, sheets, changing diapers, bathing, helping with homework, paying bills, budgeting, clipping coupons, folding chairs, putting the kids to bed. Hallelujah! It all starts again the next morning when you will now be dragging the kids out of bed, brushing, chasing, buckling, and feeding them. Plus, during the day, you might have an outside job. Then you pick up the kids from school. You have to umpire the kids trying to play a basketball game in the living room or go bike riding, getting the bubbles out, sprinklers this summer, slides, nature walks, coloring, crafts, jumping rope, plus raking, trimming, planting, edging, mowing, gardening, painting, walking the dog, whatever. You hardly have any time to eat, sleep, drink, or go to the bathroom, and yet you still manage to gain 10 pounds. Oh my goodness. After this short review of mothering, some of you who aren't mothers are, you know, thinking, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I did the right thing here. And then some of you are saying, no, bring it on. I still want to be a mother. The one thing that you didn't hear in the glimpse into motherhood was the high call of God for mothers to advance His kingdom in their children's lives. And that is so critical. I'm thankful for the mothers of Church at the Rock and their growing commitment to live for the Lord and to have their focus in the home as they raise their children for the Lord. It's not easy for a woman to make the decision to commit her life to raising children, to honor the Lord, much less to be focused on motherhood as a holy calling with the present emphasis for women not to be held back by their children or their husbands. There is no easy pathway to motherhood as women battle a feminism that is promoting a focus on self and minimizing the importance of the family. This message, don't let anything or anyone hold you back from your career dreams, starts in kindergarten. The second they hit school, they're hearing this. One mother in our church, Tamoy Thomas, will share with us her journey toward embracing marriage and children. And I've asked her husband, Ranval, to come and to introduce her this morning. Yes. Let me see.
Yep. Good morning, church. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out here in Church of the Rock. I want to extend that. And also a blessed Mother's Day, too, because the scripture tells us that mothers are blessed. They are blessed. The fruit of the womb is a blessing. Now, the person coming to share with you next is someone near and dear to my heart, my wife, Tamoy Thomas. When I met this young lady almost 15 years ago, I was convinced right away that she would be my wife. She, on the other hand, didn't see my vision. It took a lot of convincing to even get her to talk to me. Nevertheless, here we are today, married for 10 years.
Amen.
And 4 beautiful children.
Amen. Amen.
So guys, when you find the right young lady, I want to tell you this. Don't give up. Do a lot of convincing. Be persistent. Don't give up. Now, she's an amazing woman who is gifted, kind, and a blessing to all those who know her. My family and I are so grateful for her and the work God has done in her life. So here she is to share her testimony. Tomoy Thomas.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much, Ramville. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. I know you work so hard every day. My early life was filled with dysfunction and negative family interactions, and I recognized that interacting with children did not come easily for me. Consequently, as a young adult, I decided I would never get married and never have children. I saw children as a burden who would keep me from enjoying life. I wanted to travel the world and avoid the responsibility of having to take care of anyone but myself. I was determined to establish a career for myself, be successful, and make lots of money along the way. As you can see, things have changed quite significantly. My wonderful husband, Ramville, and I are now the parents of 3 truly amazing children, and our 4th is due in July. You might be wondering how I became a stay-at-home mom to soon-to-be 4 children, especially when it was my goal to never be a parent. I can only attribute it to the powerful work of Jesus Christ in my life. Several years ago, my husband and I were experiencing a particularly contentious period in our marriage. I was filled with anger and often used my words to injure and insult my husband. One day, after a very intense argument, God convicted me of my sins. I finally saw how awful I was, not only to my husband, but to a holy and righteous God. My heart was filled with anger, jealousy, and greed. I was a liar and coveted the possessions of others. I saw clearly that if I did not surrender my life to God, I was destined for hell. I decided that day to ask God for forgiveness and repented of my sins. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and acknowledged his work on the cross as the only means by which a vile sinner like me could have salvation. God transformed my heart to one which sought to honor him. I had to abandon my selfish ambitions and give my husband the love, honor, and respect he deserved. It also meant that I had to allow myself to be open to having children if it was God's will. The wide variety of pharmaceutical products on the market and the easy access to abortion led me to believe that you can delay or prevent pregnancy for as long as you wish. But the truth is that only God enables a woman to have a child. I finally saw that the ability to be a mother is a blessing from God. I should be grateful for the privilege if he would allow it. After the birth of our first child, God continued to convict me about the importance of my role as a mother, as a wife and mother. When our daughter was about 11 months old, I returned to work where I was on a very successful track. In fact, I was on the path to be promoted to the position of my dreams. But after about 3 months, I realized that I truly wasn't able to give the best of myself to my family and my home as God had called me to do. So I resigned from my job. This was probably one of the hardest things I had ever done. It was the end of a career that I had worked so hard for. But God had called me to diligently teach his words to my children, to love my husband, and to assist my husband by managing the home. I could not accomplish these tasks properly when most of my time was spent away from home. I had to completely devote myself to this calling of motherhood, to my husband, and to my home. I can't say that being a wife and a stay-at-home mom is without challenge. In fact, some days I look around my home and see the screaming kids, misplaced toys and books, piles of laundry and dishes, and think what an awful job I'm doing. There's always so much to do and never enough time to get it all done. But then I remind myself that part of being a mother is a battle to lead the hearts and minds of our children to God. And battles are often messy and exhausting. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 17 says, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is only but for a moment, is working for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I run this race knowing that my reward is in heaven. Each day with my children is an opportunity to teach the next generation God's word and to share his love and grace through the redeeming power of the gospel. I am truly grateful for the opportunity to be a mother, and my children have blessed my life tremendously. Through this journey, I have a better understanding of God's love for us as a Heavenly Father and how he wants to redeem us even though we are disobedient and self-seeking. Each day, I continue to trust that God's words are true and seek his wisdom so that I may fulfill his call for my life. Thank you."
Tamoy, moms, many of you here this morning, you too have committed your life and family to the Lord, and you want to please him by doing his will for your life. Tamoy's testimony hopefully resonated with you and was an inspiration for you today. There might be some mothers this morning, though, that are struggling with what it means to have Jesus in control of your life and what it means to see his design carried out for you. It all boils down to who will rule in your life. And it was an issue that Jesus wanted to clarify because he highly valued this issue of kingdom. Him being the king and his kingdom and his subjects in his kingdom. He wanted to clarify and talk about what that meant. And in Matthew 13, where our scripture is found today, Jesus uses seven different parables. We're not going to get into but one of them today. But the kingdom of heaven was primarily for those who had ears to hear and eyes to see, and hearts that were soft. And the people that fit that description were the disciples. And so in Matthew 13, Jesus is confronted by the disciples, or asked of the disciples, "Can you give us an explanation for the parables? Why do you use them? Why are you using all the parables?" And he says, "You know what? The hearts are dull. The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." They don't want to hear. They don't want to see. They don't want to turn. Isn't that the way it is when we're talking with a rebellious child? They act like they don't hear us, right? They act like we're not there. Their hearts need to be softened up. Now, the only way I know a small child can be softened up in their heart is to work on their backside a little bit. Now, I know in this day and age, you know, people say, "Oh, Pastor, you're going to get us in trouble." There's a way to discipline your child in love and not anger. You must not ever do it in anger. And you must always do it with a flexible object that's not going to hurt the child. But it is going to deal with the heart issue. And they're going to come to a place of sorrow over their sin. You don't want them to become hardened to you. You want to work at them having ears to hear you. When they hear you give them a direction, you need to be able to see their response. Yes, mommy. Yes, daddy. That's what you want to see. Well, that's what our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us. And He comes and He convicts with His Holy Spirit. Tell the truth. Love sexual purity. Worship me alone. Be generous in your heart to others. Now that, all of that, all as we go through the Ten Commandments, it's impossible to pull that off until you're surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go home, grit your teeth and say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do the Ten Commandments. You're not going to do them. Without the life of Jesus Christ in you, you're not going to do it. You might do it a little bit and then totally fail and say, oh, what's going on? You don't have life to do what is right. And you need Jesus in your life. And so people say, I know what Jesus is calling me. I know what He's calling me to do. He's calling me to repent, turn away from my lying, my stealing, my adultery, my murder in my heart, which is anger and bitterness against those around me. I know He wants me to turn from that and turn to Him who died on the cross and shed His blood so that He can heal me. Well, I don't want to do that. That is why Jesus is sharing the kingdom in parables so that people will come to the place and say, listen, this must be important. He's teaching this, and yet, you know what? I don't really understand. How can I understand? Oh, now your heart's beginning to soften up, and now you're moving in the right direction, and that's what you want to do. I look at people who don't humble themselves and begin to feel the pressure of life. And really, I believe it's God's mercy and His patience upon your life, drawing you and trying to call you and trying to soften your heart, trying to get your heart to respond to Him. In Daniel 4:17, it says that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And He's saying this because of Nebuchadnezzar. He's saying this, Nebuchadnezzar has gotten so full of himself that he has no perception of God at all. And now God is going to give him a dream, has given him a dream. He tells it to Daniel, and Daniel says, oh, king, that it would be to someone else. God is going to discipline you severely in your life. And He disciplines Nebuchadnezzar for this reason, that people would know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He wills and sets over it the lowest of men. He raises up and He takes down because He is the one who is in control. We might say, I'm in control of my life. I'm really making sure that everything is the way I want it to be. Just remember this. God is the one who rules in the affairs of men. He raises up, He takes down. So be careful about that. Well, I want to look at Jesus' teaching of the kingdom, one of the parables that He gave, and a question that I believe was at the heart of the disciples' desire for an explanation from Jesus. There in Matthew 13, another parable He put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven, He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, His kingdom, in contrast to the kingdom of men, to the kingdom of earth, kingdoms of earth, is like a man who sowed good seed in his seed. One dimension of it is like a man who goes out and seeds his field with good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, this was a practice in the Roman Empire. People who wanted to destroy their competitor would go out and sow weeds in their field because they knew that it would cause lots of problems for them, that they would not get as much from the harvest, that they would have more of a difficult time bringing in their harvest. So there was a law that was written into Roman law. You could not do this. And if you got caught doing this, the penalty was very severe. So it was a real issue in the Roman Empire. And so his hearers grasped this right away. They understood about an enemy going and sowing wheat But what did it deal with my life? How does that concern my life? But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So here, the grain is sprouting, and so the heads are beginning to develop. They're beginning to bring forth their seeds, but the weeds now are going to be identified as being different. As they were young, they almost looked exactly like the wheat, and you couldn't tell the difference. But once their fruit began to develop, they go, oh, these are weeds. You look at this. What a beautiful, beautiful flower and clover. This is alsike clover. If you feed it to your horses, do any of you have horses this morning? Okay. But if you did, you would be giving a death sentence to your horse if they ate enough of it. And it grows wild. And farmers work to make sure that this is not in any of the hay for their horses or the fields where their horses graze. They understand that. Mothers, it is very, very important for you to grasp this concept today. And we're going to be looking more at this. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares or darnel?" Another name for it is darnel. And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" He said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat while you're doing that. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather my wheat into the barn. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, and there were seven parables. Remember, he gives seven parables. He explains the sower, but he just gives the other five of four parables. Now this one, the disciples say, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And what they're saying really is, we don't understand this. We have questions about this. And one of the questions, I think, is how do I deal with the weeds? How do I deal with them? If you're saying the kingdom of heaven has weeds, I can't really understand all of this. What relationship does this have with me? The weeds don't sound good. I don't want anything to do with the weeds. And yet we know that from the time Adam and Eve rebelled, weeds would be a part of our life. Literally and also figuratively in all areas of our lives. So today I want us to take some time and to look at this, and especially for moms, Jesus has an answer to this question, and I'm applying it to you today, moms. Moms, make sure that you are truly alive in Christ and that you are clearly communicating this reality to your children. This is so important. When you heard Tamoy's testimony, it was clear that she had a moment in her life where she stopped and realized she needed to repent and put her faith and trust in Christ. Jesus answered them and said, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. His word, the word of God. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom." The field is all of this world. All of it. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. He sows seeds into their life. They become now further seeds for the rest of the kingdom. What are you to do with seeds? You're to make sure that you go and sow them into other people's lives. Moms, make sure that you're clearly communicating, "God sowed his word in my life. It's brought forth everlasting life. I'm surrendered to Jesus Christ. There is no other way to live." You want your children watching you and saying, "Mom, why is Jesus so important to you?" And you need to give your testimony. You need to make it clear. Let's go on. Moms, operate on the truth that there is an enemy who purposefully plants weeds to choke out the word of God in your children's lives. Now, How in the world do we come to that? The tares are the sons of the wicked one, the weeds. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So I don't have to, you know, say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do about weeds? They're here until the end of the age. God has a plan. He's got someone who's going to reap those weeds, his angels. Whew. I don't have that responsibility. Okay. God's got it under control. But I have to be careful about these weeds choking out the truth in my children's lives. Back in the parable of this of the sower in Matthew 13, there 22, he says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's not what you want for your children. You don't want them having whatever word you're sowing in their lives to be choked out by a world that has been sown with weeds. By the riches of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world. The sons of the wicked one are only concerned about that. And they want to say to your children, this is what's most important, the here and now. Be careful. Work on this. Oh, yes, the weeds look good, don't they? They look wonderful. Moms, not all that is beautiful on the outside is good for your children. In fact, it could be diametrically opposed to their well-being. Just as this is poison for horses, there's a lot out there that is poison for your children. I've had mothers say to me, I thought I was sending them to a good school, but he or she got in with the wrong crowd, and that's why they're hooked on drugs. It's not why they're hooked on drugs. You need to stop and say, Lord, what impact is being brought to bear on my children right now? Is your word being choked out of their lives? I don't want it choked out of their life. Maybe it's been choked out of your life. Maybe you're hard of hearing. Maybe you can't see. Maybe you don't want to turn. Maybe you're rebelliously going in a direction that you know is wrong in your heart. But your heart is hard and you don't care. You just don't care. Cry out to God. Go home. Fall on your face before God and say, God, I don't care what it's going to take. Break my heart. Soften my heart. I want to be able to repent and turn to you. I homeschooled, but when they went to college, a professor caused them to lose their faith. The word was choked. Probably before they got to college. I thought the cousin would be a good babysitter, and yet they molested my child, and since that time, my child has been really messed up in their sexual identity. You have to protect your children. The wicked one wants to do whatever possible to choke the word of God out of your children. These weeds in the kingdom might seem overwhelming until you remember the words of Jesus, where he said very clearly, you know, in this world you have many tribulations, right? But take cheer, take heart, I've overcome the world. That's why you look to him. Lord, I need you. I need you to be working in my life. Mothers, there is so much against you in this society today. Be aware, be alert to the attacks of the enemy and to the attacks that he wants to bring against your children. Jesus is building his answer here. Moms, do not hold bitterness against the weeds. They are just acting in accord with their wicked heart. True? Don't get bitter against the forces around, the wicked sons of this kingdom around you. Some of you are uncomfortable about me saying, well, Pastor, that sounds real demeaning. That sounds really arrogant, you calling the people outside the kingdom of God wicked seed. You know what? They are. But there's a way that I'm called to love them. And we're going to look at that at the end. But Jesus goes on, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Does that concern you for your friends, your family, other people who are weeds in the kingdom of the evil one? The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom. They will gather out of his kingdom. All over the earth, there are his kingdom people. All things that offend, and those who what? Practice lawlessness. Well, how do I know if I'm a weed in the kingdom of this world? Do you practice lawlessness? Do you practice lying? Do you practice stealing? Do you practice sexual immorality? Do you practice worshiping yourself and other little gods that the world has provided? Do you practice greed, coveting what others have and wanting more and more and more? That's how you assess whether or not you're practicing lawlessness. And what will he do? He'll cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, Paul said, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We will enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. Mothers, there's lots of tribulations. There's lots of hard times. But every time you enter into a tribulation, a difficulty in your life, stop and be reminded, you know what? I'm a child of the kingdom of God. And God has all of this under control. And he wants me to be aware of the weeds. And he wants me to be aware of the impact on my children's lives. He wants me to make sure that the word of God is not being choked out of their lives. Moms, you are to be actively shining among the weeds for Jesus until his kingdom comes. Actively, actively shining. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. If you don't shine now, do you think you'll be able to shine then? No. You must be shining now. Shining now means that people see your life and hear your words. Lots of people say, well, I'm just going to live in a certain way where they say, oh, they're a good person. You know, I think I'm going to go, seek out God. No, the people aren't going to do that. You can be good all you want, but if you don't have the words to back it up and point them to Jesus Christ, you're not shining. You want to make sure your character is Christ-controlled. And when it is Christ-controlled, then you speak. You want to make sure you follow up. I am shining because Jesus Christ has changed my life. I surrendered to Jesus and he took the wickedness out of my heart. He took the stain of guilt out of my life. He took my sin away. He took my lying, my stealing and all my greed and false worship and disobedience to parents. He took it away and he replaced it with life. I belong to him. I'm alive in him. That's how you shine. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is how simple it is. Moms, don't complicate this. If you're a child of the kingdom, you're shining with the truth of Jesus Christ verbally, which grows out of a life that's been radically changed. How do I deal with the weeds in my life? I love this by the Apostle Paul. The church at Corinth really didn't know how to deal with the weeds. And he's trying to help them. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or with extortioners or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. They're all around. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. There were people in the church who were saying, yes, I'm alive in Christ, and then living with their father's wife. bringing one another to law before unbelievers instead of trying to work it out among themselves. The Apostle Paul is saying, you would do this? He says, no. You know what? If somebody wants to act like they're a brother or a sister, and they're not, they're a hypocrite. And they need to be disciplined. You can't treat them as a brother or sister in Christ because the world is going to mock the church. And so we deal with those who are in the church. Those who are outside the church. That's not my job to judge them. My job is to shine the truth of Jesus Christ into their lives. Don't even eat with a person who's covetous, idolater, reviler, drunkard, extortioner. They say they're a brother or sister and that's what they're doing. Don't even eat with them. Don't even have dinner with them. Appeal to them. In Matthew 18, we hear, appeal to them. Say, turn to the Lord Jesus. You need to turn. I love it. Back a chapter where he's dealing with sexual immorality in the in a family, in the church, and the church has said, oh, we don't see anything. We're just covering it up. We're okay. Paul says, no, you need to deal with it. And he says, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? I don't judge the weeds. God has called me to love the weeds. Isn't it interesting? Some of you are still struggling with me using the word weeds. Jesus had no problem. The enemy of your soul comes and he wants to adjust God's word. Don't let him do it. Whatever it is you see in Scripture, accept it, embrace it. We are called to love the weeds. But they're not the wheat. They're not going to be taken into the kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God. Get serious about this. They're on their way to an eternity of being gathered up at the end of the age and thrown into hell forever and ever and ever. Do you love them? They need to know you are not part of the kingdom of God. Do you not judge those who are inside? He's saying, in the church, those are the ones you judge. I know people, don't judge me, don't judge me. I go, hey, if you're in the church, you're going to be judged. Hopefully, with a heart filled with love. But those who are outside, God judges. God judges the weeds. I don't have to deal with that. I have to shine. I have to lovingly shine the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. Therefore, put away yourselves the evil person. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? See, Paul has the kingdom in his mind, doesn't he? We should have. It's God's kingdom I'm a part of. And I'm in a world where there are lots of weeds interspersed all over the place. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. I know some of you have family members. I know some of you moms, and I'm going to say something here that's you're going to have a little reaction. Some of you moms have children who are in this list, and you're making excuses for their lives. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Make no excuses. Get on your face before God and say, Lord, I love the weed, my son, my daughter. I love them, but they're a weed. And they're waiting to be gathered up and cast into the furnace of fire, into hell for all eternity. Oh, Jesus, save them. Save them. Turn them from their wicked ways. Do not minimize their wickedness. After ministering since 1975 here in the city, traveling all over the city in my early years and ministering in other churches and being here now for 20, in my 29th year right now, there's nothing that grieves my heart more than a mother minimizing the wickedness of a child. You're encouraging them to continue in a hard heart. Oh, but I want them to know that I love them. Tell them, I love you so much. I want you to spend eternity with me in heaven. You need to repent. You need to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And remember, such were some of you. You were a weed. All of us were weeds. We're former weeds. You were washed. You were sanctified, set apart. You were justified. You were declared, my son, my daughter now has my righteousness. They are right before the throne of heaven. In my kingdom, they are right. Boy, there's nothing greater to hear, huh? Clean and right. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. It's a supernatural work. And it only happens when you come to that point where you begin to cry out and say, oh God, change my heart, change my life. Moms, on this day, and as you're going to be leaving today, you're going to get a special gift. And we're going to have gifts down here and gifts at the door back there. And I want you to know there is no doubt in my mind that if you turn to Jesus Christ, you are going to experience grace and power and strength to live in His kingdom and to honor Him and to impact those around you and especially your children for eternity. It's not just for a few years. It is for eternity. But it comes at the price of turning away from indulging your wicked ways and putting all your faith and trust in Christ. Once that's been done, then be honest. I live in a world of weeds. And I'm not going to be deceived. One of their tendencies is to choke out the truth I'm putting into my children. And I'm not going to allow that. I'm going to make sure I stand firm. Mothers, that's my prayer for you today, that you stand firm in the field of weeds. Oh, you have wheat around you. You have sons and daughters of the kingdom of God around you here and there. But the moment you step out and go to work or go to school or something else like that, you say, wow, there's a lot of weeds. They need a lot of shining from me of love, of God's word to touch their lives. And especially my children. That is something that you must not lose sight of. Oh, Father, I thank you for all the moms today. I pray, Lord Jesus, your special blessing on their lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that each and every one of them would be totally convinced in their heart of what it means to see their children hear the truth of your kingdom, not of this little temporary kingdom here on this earth, but your eternal kingdom with you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, I pray this work to be done in their lives, and I thank you for this. In your name I pray. Amen.